Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Jeff Byers. Jeff, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. Welcome in 2025.
And you know what? A great way to welcome in 2025 with another playoff win for the Nittany Lions. They beat Boise State New Year's Eve. Great way to celebrate New Year's Eve. They move on to the Orange Bowl. And if you would like to head out to the Orange Bowl, follow your Nittany Lions to the national championship semifinal game, got great news for you. Collegiate Athletic Travel, I've been talking to you about them for the last couple weeks. They have an awesome package for you. Three-night air package includes charter flight nonstop from either State College or from Harrisburg. It includes three-night hotel accommodations. It includes game ticket, all the ground transport you need. If you want to check them out, just go to athletictravel.com, or you could call them at 814-238-4987. And if you've already made your own arrangements for the game and you just need a flight, call them at that 814-238-4987 number. You could get a flight-only package. I believe it's like $895 round trip, nonstop out of State College. Great deal there. All right, Jeff. Penn State won their quarterfinal game. Has James Franklin won a big game yet?
Paul Feinbaum would say absolutely not. What a bum. Can I just tell you, even though, I just would love to see James Franklin be able to knock off an SEC team here in this playoff run. Listen, I mean, you know, the facts are he beat two top 10 teams here to start this playoff run. So does he have two big wins? Yes. But is it also true Penn State was heavily favored in both games? And I think most fans would tell you those are games Penn State should win. And the national experts certainly would tell you that. Sure. So, you know, I guess it again, if you're a James Franklin critic and nothing he does is good enough, you certainly have ammunition saying they haven't won a big game yet. If you're a huge James Franklin fan, you can certainly point to the fact that they just beat two top 10 teams and advanced to the Final Four to support your cause. I think at the end of the day, to me, Jim, regardless of what happens from here on out, Penn State has accomplished what it needed to do in my mind, which is clearly take the next step this season. Now, do I think this team or program should be satisfied with this now that you're this close to the ultimate goal? No, and you want to go out and finish this up. But clearly, Penn State now is one of the Final Four teams standing. That has not been the case previously under James Franklin. So in my mind, that next step clearly has been taken. You take that off the things that need to happen for this program. And, you know, regardless to me of what happens from here on out, Penn State has now achieved a successful season by any reasonable measure. And I think, again, has taken that next step, which for the program and for James Franklin, I think is a big deal.
I'm in agreement with you, Jeff. I think anyone who's fair-minded has to look at this and say, making it to the Final Four, yes, Boise State, SMU, not necessarily those big names, but they beat them. They were playoff games, and they won. So I think you've got to take that, you know, big game James sarcasm off the table. And you know what, Jeff? You had to get me started, though, with the Penn State. You'd like to see them knock off a Southeast Conference team. Okay. So I'm blaming you for this next rant. All right. It's on you. All on you. Alabama losing to Michigan. Okay. South Carolina losing to Illinois. please tell me again how those three lost Southeast Conference team, excuse me, four lost team now, should have been in the playoffs. Please, I want to hear it. I now, and believe it or not, okay, you know me. I'm not typically snarky. I'm not. Okay, maybe a little bit. But I, maybe we shouldn't even think. Kirk Herbstreit said wins and losses don't matter, okay? Alabama, South Carolina, they lost those games. Shouldn't matter. They're still the better team. Alabama is still better than Michigan, so we shouldn't count that loss, Jeff.
Yeah, there are so many things, Jim, that have been driving me crazy with the analysts and their thoughts. And I've been going off this week on Paul Feinbaum just because I am so tired of his, well, this coach is no good. That coach is no good. Do you understand everything that is involved in college athletics? And we play lip service, Jim, and even – you know, fans of programs, it's like, well, yeah, no, we want our kids to graduate. At the end of the day, I really wonder how many fans that truly is important to. I think the overwhelming majority, it's like, well, yeah, we're okay if that graduation rate dips 10 or 15% if we win a national title. To me, when you look at guys like Ryan Day and James Franklin and the cultures that they are creating and the impact on the young men that they have coming through their program, not just in developing as football players, although certainly that obviously has to be part of the equation, but I think both do a great job of that. But I think more so it's developing these kids, and they're still kids in the process of developing into men, allowing them to grow as human beings and hopefully become productive members of society, good husbands, good fathers, good productive members of society, whether it's in the NFL or in whatever their chosen career ends up being. And I just, it just grates me more than it should. And again, we're all accountable for our reactions to stuff. And I'm one of those that's always like, hey, if you don't like what somebody's saying, don't listen. It's hard not to hear what Paul Feinbaum is saying. And I just, the whole, I'll tell you the one that really got under my skin is that they're talking about James Franklin and going into the Boise State game. And the words that Feinbaum used is that it would be an unforgivable loss for James Franklin if Penn State lost to Boise State. And that word just, it was like fingernails on a chalkboard to me. It is sports, dude. Like, you're telling me that a loss in a sporting event is unforgivable to another team, but which, by the way, great coach, great impact. You listen to those Boise State players after that game talking about the impact on their lives, not just their athletic careers, on their lives that the Boise State coaching staff has had on them. Man, it should be fulfilling stuff. The idea that any sporting loss is unforgivable. Jim, I loved hearing Dan Lanning after the Oregon loss to Ohio State in his press conference. And he wasn't down, like sullen. I mean, he obviously wasn't upbeat and wasn't thrilled. But he's like, hey, like Ohio State, man, that is an outstanding team. And they showed up and played the way they're capable of playing. We had no answers for Jeremiah Smith. That dude is next level good. And, man, we picked a bad day to have an off day. No excuses. Ohio State's a great team. They did a great job today. They were clearly motivated, dialed in. And it's like, yeah, it happens in sports. Oregon played great all season long. They were a little off. I think Ohio State had a lot to do with that. We've been saying all year, I think Ohio State's the most talented team. Well, they have rallied since that Michigan loss, clearly in that locker room around Ryan Day and the coaches and each other. And they're playing the way I think most of us thought they were capable of playing. That is a talented, really talented football team. and they showed up and played a great game. Doesn't mean Oregon's lousy. Dan Lanning doesn't know how to coach a big game. It means, man, on that day, Ohio State had it clicking. They got it rolling, and Oregon just didn't have the answers that day. It happens, man. It's sports. I don't know. There's been so many things. The whole, well, Indiana, Kirk Herbstreit, and I love Kirk Herbstreit. I really do. I think he's a terrific analyst. But the whole, oh, you're watching that game, you know Indiana doesn't belong in the same field. Really? Really? Do you know that? You know that, and his point was that an Alabama or a Mississippi did belong on the field. No, they didn't. None of those teams belonged on the field with Ohio State. Oregon looked like it didn't belong. Oregon. Dude, look at what they did during the season. They looked like they didn't belong on the field. Again, it's a sporting event. It's one moment, one game. Yeah, Indiana got blown out. Oregon just got blown out. It happens. It's sports. Get over it. Stop with the, no, we've got to figure out a better way to, we can't reward in Indiana no matter what they do unless they, no, stop it. The losses need to count too. And even the path to the playoffs. I'm actually now at the point where I'm sick of that. Yes, did Oregon have a tougher path than Penn State? It did. Guess what? The number one seed in the NFL playoffs sometimes gets the red-hot team that's healthy, and they're coming in as a 6 or a 7 seed. It happens. What do you want them to do? That not recognize that Ohio State lost to Michigan and knocked them down? What do you want to happen? Yeah, it's unfortunate for Oregon. No question. Ohio State was a really, really tough out. Tougher than SMU or Boise State. No question about it. There's things that happen in the playoffs all of the time at every level. You don't need to change the playoff system. You can tweak it. I understand the argument that, you know, let's try to get the seedings right. That's fine. You still could have a red-hot team that stumbles in a game or two that comes in and, oh, my God, that's a much worse matchup. That's sports. Deal with it.
Jeff, the only thing I like better than when I have a rant is to share the rant with someone else. And we're going to continue ranting when we come back.
Are you interested in traveling to Miami for the college football national semifinal game with your Nittany Lions? Then I have the answer for you from our friends at Collegiate Athletic Travel. They are offering a 3-night air package. It includes round trip, nonstop, charter air transportation from either State College or Harrisburg. Yep, you heard me right. Nonstop, out-of-state college or Harrisburg. It also includes hotel accommodations for 3 nights and your game ticket. And as always, when you deal with Collegiate Athletic Travel, you will have your travel directors who will provide you with all the help you need to make sure it's a great trip. Check them out at athletictravel.com, or you could give them a call for more information at 814-238-4987.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello, welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Salty Jim. He is Salty Jeff. Welcome back to quarter number two of our show. Jeff, I feel like I just need to hand it over to you and let you roll there in quarter number one. You said a lot, and there's a lot of things that I want to respond to. First one, you're right, Paul Feinbaum. You just got to say the name, and that sets me off now. We've always known he has the Southeast Conference bias, but now it's getting to the point where he and his ESPN cohorts, they have so much power. The fear is they will influence. So especially when you have Kirk Herbstreit now saying these things, he comes off now as a Southeast Conference shill, which is not something we expected from him. But to go back to your first quote about him saying Penn State losing to Boise State would be an unforgivable loss for James Franklin, Do you know what an unforgivable loss is, Jeff? How about losing to Vanderbilt?
Yeah.
How about not scoring a touchdown against a absolute definition of mediocre Oklahoma team?
Amen.
Those are the things that are unforgivable. Now, I'd like to think that I am self-aware enough to know that I'm a Penn State fan. And when I say things, there's going to be a little bit of that, a hint of that, at least a hint. And because of that, maybe some bias towards the Big Ten, although I think I've avoided that for years. It's only now with this hardcore Southeast Conference bias that I have become – it's probably the first time I've been rooting for the Big Ten brethren over the Southeast Conference. And it's not because I want to root for Michigan. I love Brett Bielema, so I want to root for Illinois. No. It's what those guys are doing at ESPN, which it's an obvious bias. And I think the only good thing out of this, Jeff, is they push it too far. And I think the public could see it and is saying, wait a minute. Why in the world am I listening to them when they're that extreme?
Yes, I think you're right about that. And I think outside of the SEC, most people recognize that, listen, the SEC is a great conference. No question about it. Great coaches, great players, up and down. Yes, everybody recognizes that, agrees with that. But it's like to such an absurd degree that they're promoting it that it's like, well, anybody in the top six or seven in the SEC clearly should be seated above anybody else doing anything anywhere else is what it comes across as. And it's just absurd. And again, one of the things that is driving me nuts is the you know, well, look at Alabama. They got that great win over Georgia. And yes, the wins mean something. I'm with you on that, but they don't point out the losses that you pointed out to a Vanderbilt team that was good, but not great, and an Oklahoma team that we could debate whether or not that was even a good Oklahoma team, and late in the season, Alabama got shellacked. And by the way, I also think that the whole, well, DeBoer clearly inferior to Saban, and you know, maybe they need to move on already, and next year – boy, the heat is on. And it will be, and I get it. DeBoer gets it, the whole bit. It's just most people recognize the difficulty in following a legend. Again, you recognize the challenges in a conference like the SEC for any of these coaches. And it's like, really, you're not going to allow any grace period. And it's not like Alabama – to go to, I know you used unforgivable because of the Feinbaum. Again, to me, there just is not such a thing in the world of sports as unforgivable. We see crazy upsets every year, you know, and over the decades, there will be some that stand out more than others and will live on for a long time. But it's because it's sports. Crazy things happen. Jim, one of the most baffling things in the world to me, because I was able to watch Notre Dame and I was able to watch a couple of their games down the stretch. How in the world, like seriously, how in the world did they lose to a Northern Illinois team? And again, at the time, I thought maybe that's just like top of the cream of the crop of the MAC. And, you know, Notre Dame's down a little bit. Notre Dame's not down a little bit. And Northern Illinois is not. Not anywhere near the cream of the crop in even the Mid-American Conference this year. How do you explain it? It's sports. You don't. It's crazy. Stuff happens. Well, how did James Franklin's not a good coach? You know, they would have had Penn State beating Bowling Green by multiple touchdowns. That's not a great Bowling Green team. Dude, look around. It is sports. It's football. Crazy things happen. It's what makes it exciting. It's what makes it fun. And I just think at the end of the day, what really rankles me is just full disclosure here, like during the games, I'm like every other knucklehead fan. Oh, you're a bum. You dropped that ball. Oh, you're a bum. But at least in the immediate aftermath, I can put things in perspective. In the moment, I'm like everybody else. I'm like, no, that's inexcusable. You can't. Of course it's excusable. How can you jump off sides there? Well, because you're excited. You're pumped. The adrenaline's going. You're wanting to make a play. Well, no, but you can't ever do that. Well, you've never been out there in that moment, knucklehead. And I'm talking to me. I'm looking in the mirror when I say, you don't have any idea what that pressure is like and what the anticipation is like. Yes, you're right. They shouldn't jump off sides. Well, then how do they? Because they're human beings, and they're trying to do the best they can in the circumstances that they've been put in. And again, I went off a little bit on our morning show earlier this week, Jim, but it football is the ultimate team game. We talk about it all the time. You need 11 different players trying to do the right thing against opponents that are trying to wreck your plans to do the right thing. So even if you are technically, your assignment and technically you're doing it right, sometimes you're going against somebody that's just physically better. And it doesn't matter that you did everything right. You get beat on the play. Well, that can't happen. This is big time college football. Well, of course it can happen. There are freaks of nature. Abdul Carter, you can do everything right as an opposing tight end or running back or offensive tackle. Man, I got the right leverage. I got low with the gravity. I knew my assignment to take Abdul Carter the other way. And Abdul's just too quick, too strong. He beats you. Well, welcome to life. Like, there are days where you just run up against something or somebody that's better than you. And again, you have all of these different guys dealing. They're college kids. Do you remember when you were in college? Not always making the greatest decisions. Girlfriend issues. You know, you're at that stage of life where family health issues, whether your parents, your grandparents, maybe siblings, like cousins, stuff is happening. Well, no, but you need to be focused because I, as the fan or as the critic, I'm telling you that you need to be dialed in because this team needs to win. It would be unforgivable if you lose this. Give me a break. Get out of here with that stuff. It's sports. And again, we're fanatics. I'm a fanatic. In the moment, I'm right there with you. It feels like, man, that's unforgivable. You can't do that. Of course you can. It's a human being. I make idiotic mistakes every day. I left the coffee cup on the top of my car. I'm putting something else in my car. I'll set it on top. Well, how could you do that? You just paid. These days, it's like $4.50 for the cup of coffee, and you just throw it away. What kind of a moron does? Well, me. I'm the moron that did that. Well, why did you do that? Because I'm a human being. I got other things on my mind. I forgot. It was a really stupid thing, and it aggravated me. It's life, man. Like, I don't know. We just sometimes we need to sit back and a little perspective. And again, I'm looking in the mirror when I say this, too. I'm like most of the rabid sports fans out there at the moment. I'm yelling at the TV. I'm cursing at the players through the screen. But at the end of the day, I like to think anyways, I actually have the perspective that I think we all should have. And it's like, yeah, okay, it's a game. They're doing their best. They're providing entertainment for us. And let's move on from there.
Do you know what? I don't like Jeff with perspective. I prefer salty Jeff going off. He's much more fun.
There you go.
And as always, when you go into a rant phase, which I love, okay? I love ranting Jeff because you give me so much to chew on. I'm actually taking – seriously, Jeff, I am taking notes over here, okay? These are all notes that I'm taking based on things that you said and things that I want to hit in response. Well, the first thing, I loved what you talk about in the moment, during the game, watching the game the other night, and I'd like to say this is a one-off. It's not. It's what I do. Watching a game by myself, not with a group. It's better that way.
That is wise.
I'm not sitting. I always joke, I'm going to watch the game from my Barca lounger. No, I don't, because I stand up. It helps my team perform better if I am like 3 feet from the 50-inch TV, okay? I could watch it better, and they could hear me yelling if I'm that close, Jeff, okay? That's why I do it. And I think there were several times in that game the other night where I jumped off sides from my living room. So I understand that. The other thing I wanted to mention is we're talking about some of these, like the coach at Alabama now. Oh, Nick Saban would never lose these games. I'm not so sure, because there is always an end. Dabo Swinney is no longer the Dabo Swinney that he was for about a decade at Clemson. Closer to home, Joe Paterno was not Joe Paterno forever, okay? Current Bill Belichick didn't finish at New England the way he was for so long. And times change, and it's tough to keep up. The fact that Nick Saban did it for as long as he did is what's incredible, okay? To expect him to keep doing that would have been even more so. Jeff, I'm not done with my rant, okay? When we come back, I am going to pick up from there. Stay tuned.
Are you interested in traveling to Miami for the college football national semifinal game with your Nittany Lions? Then I have the answer for you from our friends at Collegiate Athletic Travel. They are offering a three-night air package. It includes round trip, nonstop, charter air transportation from either State College or Harrisburg. Yep, you heard me right. Nonstop, out-of-state college or Harrisburg. It also includes hotel accommodations for three nights and your game ticket. And as always, when you deal with Collegiate Athletic Travel, you will have your travel directors who will provide you with all the help you need to make sure it's a great trip. Check them out at athletictravel.com, or you could give them a call for more information at 814-238-4987.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back. It's quarter number three of Jim and Jeff Rant Show. We are both doing a great job at it, Jeff. But a quick note before I continue my rant, if you are interested to show up for the Penn State semifinal game in Miami for the Orange Bowl, I got great news for you. Collegiate Athletic Travel, they have a three-night air package for you. It includes round trip, nonstop. That's the important thing here. Flight out of either Harrisburg or State College. You heard that right. They've got a charter flight going out of State College, and the trip includes three nights hotel accommodation at a great hotel. They also have all the ground transportation you need, game ticket, everything included. And if you've already made your arrangements with your ticket and all of that, but you just need a flight, you could get that if you call over at Collegiate Athletic Travel at 814-238-4987. That's right. Round trip, nonstop flight out of State College. If you want more details for the trip, go to athletictravel.com. They have all the details there. It will be a great trip. Jeff, we were going through our rants, and we don't even have time in one segment to finish our rant. So I'm gonna continue mine now. But one of the things I'd like to think, we were talking about the ESPN crew and their Southeast Conference bias. And it's okay to have an opposing point of view. That's what sports is about. But the other day, I saw Nick Saban. They had him on ESPN, and they were asking about Alabama. And he was, for the most part, very gracious about it, wasn't playing too much of the Alabama homerism after they lost to Michigan. But he pointed out it's tough for a team if they were near making the playoffs and they have the disappointment of not making it. That team often will not play well in their bowl game. And you know what? That's legitimate. It's legitimate. But after all of this ESPN pontificating about the Southeast Conference, it came off to me as petty by Nick Saban. And it shouldn't have, because it was legitimate. But that's my point about, I think they are reaching that point, Jeff, of going too far, and they are turning the fan base against them. That once you start, if they could now give a legitimate opinion, and I don't care anymore, I now think they're saying it from an SEC prism.
Yeah, I think that is the danger that they're running into, is there's going to be such a backlash that even legitimate, fair criticism, in my eyes, will be viewed as not such, just because of the messenger, not that the message is wrong. And that is, I think, where they have just gone a little too far in the advocation of the SEC. And again, I don't. Do you know anybody, Jim, that follows college football that doesn't acknowledge that the SEC is not clearly the best conference year in and year out? I'm not. Again, there may be a specific year, and this might be one of them, where that's not necessarily the case. But I mean, year in and year out, I think even the most ardent Big Ten fans would acknowledge, yeah, usually the SEC at the top end is, you know, probably a little better. And certainly overall is as good, if not better, than the Big Ten or any conference out there. So it's not that there isn't that recognition. It's just, again, you can't go that route to such a degree that you just completely minimize what an SMU or a Boise State or an Indiana or anybody else outside of the SEC does, and not acknowledge that, yeah, there were some faults this year with Ole Miss and Alabama and, you know, even Tennessee and for that matter, Georgia and Texas. So I think it's okay to acknowledge that, yeah, this is a year where, you know, again, a lot of good football in the SEC, but a lot of good football being played elsewhere. And we're still trying to figure out how the dynamics with NIL and transfer portal and all of this, we're still trying to figure that out. Everybody is, and how that's going to ultimately play out. I thought I caught a little bit of an interview too with the Colin Cowherd did with Urban Meyer, Jim, and I thought it was a very interesting interview. But one of the things Meyer was talking about is he does not think there will be a commissioner of college football, as James Franklin and others are advocating, simply because he does not think that the haves, the Ohio States, the Georgias, the Alabamas, the Texases of the world, are going to be willing to give up kind of the power and control and thus the money that is involved there. And it was, you know, I thought it was a very honest conversation that Meyer was having. He said, listen, I've been in the discussions, and I'm telling you, those folks are not going to be willing to give it up. If they give it up, it's going to be forced upon them. And the question is, you know, is the SEC and the Big Ten really willing to force that when they're, you know, their money makers as a conference are not going to be supportive of it? It's going to be interesting to see how that plays out here in the next few years.
Well, I think that point is very valid, and I think of it more as conference-based. The Big Ten and Southeast Conference, they control things because they control the TV contracts, which is the money, and that's what drives it. So, you know, those two groups won't give up anything. I just want to bring up one more thing because I wanted to get your take on this also. I hope you saw the Arizona State-Texas game, which, without even really a dog in the fight, it was just good college football. It's why I love the fact that there's an expanded playoffs. And, oh, yep, by the way, remember Arizona State shouldn't have been there, right? And yep, they played a heck of a game. But I made the point earlier about the credibility of people now, and – there was late in the game a call, a potential targeting. And if the call would have gone Arizona State's way, they would have gained an additional 15 yards. It probably changed the outcome of the game. And for those who didn't see it, Arizona State late in the game on a third down, they came up short. It was fourth down. They were going to have to punt. but they went to a review because there was potentially targeting. And the announcers, and then they brought in their officiating expert who said, you know, he thought there it should be called targeting, or he would not be surprised if they called it. God forbid he take a definitive stand. But it looked like it was targeting, and they came back after the review, said it was not targeting, and Texas went on to win. Now, you could debate targeting call, but the reaction, and I saw it everywhere, was, oh, the call went Texas's way. Why should anyone be surprised? The big blue blood Southeast Conference team got the call going their way. Jeff, to me, that's the point that I'm making, where they are losing credibility because of how outlandish they are. So I want to get your take on that, and was it targeting from your standpoint?
Yeah, to me, it clearly was targeting. So a couple of things. Full disclosure, I did not see it live. I was listening to it. We took our kiddo down to Chuck E. Cheese with a friend of his. So I'm kind of following the game, and I'm like, oh, darn it. Looks like Texas is blowing them out. And I'm like, oh, it kind of seems like Arizona State maybe is going to hang around a little bit and make it, you know, at least reasonably close. And then all of a sudden, it's like, oh. And we hop in the car on the way home, and I'm listening. And the radio announcers are like, oh, they're going to look at this. Oh, that is clearly, yep, this is going to be targeting. He's out. This will give Arizona State the ball first and 10 inside the 40. Like, they've already. So I'm listening to this, and then they come back and like, well, I don't know what targeting is then. Like, this is textbook. I'm listening to the color analyst, and forgive me, I don't know who it was for ESPN radio, but he's like, well, that is textbook targeting, and he's describing it. For the radio audience, and I get home, and of course I'm online, and I'm seeing the TV review, and I'm like, well, yeah, that is, I don't understand how you review that and come to the conclusion that that's not targeting. It looked to me like pretty much the textbook case. Like, that's an example that you would show an officiating crew. All right, now this is what we're looking for. This and yet the review officials determined not that case. But to your point, yes, I think, again, when there's such an obvious SEC bias, yes, it's going to, with the media, it's going to, this is what hurts the cause for the credibility. Now, the call itself hurts the cause of credibility for college football, I would argue. And I think at the very least, and maybe they did, I haven't seen it. At the very least, you need to come out and have the review official explain why, what he saw that made that not targeting. Because I genuinely don't understand it, and I'm obviously not alone. And we can argue, I'm not a big fan of the targeting calls being made the way they are, but I mean, it's a rule, and it's been applied seemingly the same way here for the last few years. Like, they at least owe an explanation of what it was they saw that they felt that wasn't targeting, because it's clear to me, it's clearly crown of the helmet into their helmet, and he's launching. Like, again, it's, I think at the very least you're owed an explanation. Well, this is why we didn't call it. We thought we saw this on the video review, because not answering that, not having some definitive answer out there as to why that wasn't targeting, only adds to the conspiracy theories. And again, I don't buy into the conspiracy, but that is a horrible call. And that's, if we're going to have review, those are the calls that you're having review to get right. And it sure seems to me they clearly got it wrong here.
And Jeff, yeah, that's the point. There's the perception of that bias then in the play calls, because we're being hammered by ESPN, who owns the rights to all of this. So, yes, fans are going to react that way. And you made the best point when saying, could someone please come out and tell us why it's not targeting? Because everything you've been calling for the last several years says that is targeting. All right, Jeff, we got one more quarter to go. We're going to talk about actual football. Stay tuned for that.
Are you interested in traveling to Miami for the college football national semifinal game with your Nittany Lions? Then I have the answer for you from our friends at Collegiate Athletic Travel. They are offering a three-night air package. It includes round trip, nonstop, charter air transportation from either State College or Harrisburg. Yep, you heard me right. Nonstop, out-of-state college or Harrisburg. It also includes hotel accommodations for three nights and your game ticket. And as always, when you deal with collegiate athletic travel, you will have your travel directors who will provide you with all the help you need to make sure it's a great trip. Check them out at athletictravel.com, or you could give them a call for more information at 814-238-4987.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Hulk Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. He's Jeff. I'm Jim. We're talking all things college football and the college football playoffs. And we were talking about that non-call for targeting in the Arizona State-Texas game. But I just want to point out one more time just how much fun that game was watching, just as a pure fan, not with, you know, the rooting interest either way. And Jeff, I have a very good friend of mine who we lived in Philadelphia together. I'm going back like 20, 30 years. And we were the best of friends. And he was an Arizona State grad, okay? And we will every once in a while send text messages back and forth when something comes up. I probably haven't reached out to him in a couple years. Well, Arizona State's getting ready to play. That's an excuse to reach out to him, which I did. We went back and forth with text messages prior to the game, during the game. And all I could think of is, if this were just the four-team playoff, my buddy and every other Arizona State fan would have never gotten this opportunity. And we could say the same thing about Boise State fans, SMU fans, Indiana fans, Penn State fans, Jeff. None of these teams would have had the opportunity for this kind of excitement. Is that not in and of itself a wonderful thing for college football in general?
Yeah, I truly believe it is. The argument I've heard against it is that, well, you know, not all of those teams are truly national title contenders. And I'm gonna throw two things into the mix. So I think most years that's going to be right. Like I think it's going to be very rare, and maybe it will be never. I tend to doubt that it will be never. But I think it's going to be very rare that a 9-12 seed or a 9 or lower seed, if it expands beyond that, ends up winning the national title. But how often does a team seeded lower than, let's say, 3 in the NFL playoffs win the Super Bowl? It's I don't have the stats, so maybe I think I'm pretty confident here that it's not often. Now, it has happened. My beloved Steelers went in as the last wild card and won the Super Bowl. So it can happen. And to me, that's the point. Again, it's rare that you get a lower seed actually winning the national championship in March Madness with college basketball. But you get some upsets along the way. You get great moments, all of that. And usually, most seasons at the end of the day, the national title game comes down to teams that were seeded, you know, at least in the top four. And again, there's always exceptions. And my guess is somewhere along the way, there will be an exception or two here in college football as well. So the fact that we didn't have really competitive games in that first round, or that, again, not all of these teams look like they are legit national title contenders. Well, yeah, welcome to playoffs in sports at all levels. That's very rarely do you have a playoff system where you go back at the end of it and say, boy, every team in there, they really had a shot at winning the state title or the national championship or an NBA or NHL or, you know, Super Bowl championship. Well, no, there are teams, again, when you have more teams, but what it creates is exactly what you talked about. Man, there's enthusiasm. Indiana fans are going to remember this season, even if they become a more established program. It's, man, that was a special, special year that kickstarted things, or maybe it's just a special year that stands out in the history of an otherwise dull Indiana football program. But again, you have those moments, those opportunities. And even if you don't cash in on the opportunity, to me, it is good for the sport that you have more fan bases involved. You have more kids seeing the possibility that, hey, I don't have to go to an Alabama or a Georgia or an Ohio State to have a shot at this thing. And to me, that at least opens up the possibility of it not being every year the same four or five teams that are winning the national title. And again, we'll see how it all plays out here in the coming years.
And Jeff, first of all, you started out by mentioning you got friends who mentioned to you, oh, there are teams in it who can't win the national championship. You need new friends, okay? If that's what you're getting from these guys, you need new friends. The other part too is just the experience. And if you think about, you know, the basketball tournament, some of the greatest moments are that first round with the upsets, you know, and when Princeton wins, Princeton isn't winning the national championship, but getting that Ivy League team winning in the first round, it's an incredible experience, especially for their fans. You know, you mentioned your Steelers. I'll mention my Mets. They were in the playoffs this year. They made the playoffs, Jeff, not on the last day of the season. They made it the day after the last day of the season. They beat the Brewers because they had homered to come from behind in the ninth inning of the final game.
Yep.
They then beat the Phillies in the playoffs. They didn't win the World Series. They didn't even go to the World Series. But talk to any Met fan, they will tell you how enjoyable that was. And I'm going to say the same thing about Penn State, and maybe this is where we started, Jeff, but we saw a whiteout home playoff win, okay? That was incredible. We then got to see a second round playoff win in the Fiesta Bowl. If you're a Penn State fan, if this were just the four teams, we would have never gotten those things, Jeff. And how about if you're an Ohio State fan? After that loss to Michigan, and you get, and I'll tell you what, right now, if I have to bet, I'm betting Ohio State to win this whole thing. They've been phenomenal. They look better than anybody else, but they're only getting that opportunity because it's more than a 14 playoff.
Yes, and that's exactly right. And again, I want to see it expanded to 16 teams because of the same thing. I want more fan bases to have that opportunity. More kids and coaches to have the experience. And again, are there going to be blowouts? Well, yeah, of course there are. I still think, you know, somewhere along the way, there's going to be that David beating Goliath. And then everybody's going to point to that as, well, that's the possibility of this thing. And it is. And even if it doesn't happen, and it will at some point, you're going to have, you know, a one or a two seed lose early to, you know, an 11 or a 12 or eventually a 15 or a 16 seed. And again, I think it's going to be good for the sport. And yes, just those experiences, those memories for those kids. To me, that's what sports ought to be about is creating those opportunities and making it a special experience for everybody involved.
All right, Jeff. We went through 3 3/4 of the show. How about we just give me your takeaways from Penn State, Boise State?
Yeah, a couple of things, Jim. I really think kudos to Tom Allen and the players for the execution against Ashton Gentry. I think it was a masterful job of gang tackling, of recognizing the situation and doing a really good job against an outstanding running back. It wasn't that Jenny had an off day or that he's not deserving of all of the accolades coming into the game. It's at Penn State. There's only so much you can do when you're being hit constantly by as good a defender as Penn State has. As relentlessly as they were. So I just think, you know, hats off to the Penn State defense for the game plan and for the execution. I also think Catron Allen, Tyler Warren obviously got the MVP. Catron Allen showed up in a huge way, as did the offensive line for sure for Penn State. And I do think it's that line play, and you know, we'll see if Abdul Carter is good to go or not for the Orange Bowl. That's obviously a significant storyline to follow. But the line play, we've been saying it all year, Jim, I think is different this year for Penn State. And it's why I think Penn State is a legitimate contender here for the national title. And it's why they're one of the final four teams standing.
I agree with you. And I thought Catron Allen was going to get that offensive MVP. I thought he deserved it. I mean, that he just had a monster game. And I got to admit, that was a surprise to me the way he played. He was hardly that, you know, he turns a 2-yard gain into a 4-yard gain, that kind of guy. He was breaking off big runs over and over again. But it leads me to just the question, you know, 3rd and 1 early in the fourth quarter, don't you have to run the ball there, Jeff?
I would agree. I think, you know, sometimes I do think coaches, even the best coaches, I think sometimes you just overthink the situations. It's like, man, you have a clear matchup advantage. And it's not, again, it's football. You never know. Crazy things can happen. But, boy, you had such a matchup advantage there at the line of scrimmage and with what Catron had been doing all game. Like, I don't think anybody's going to begrudge if you don't get it. It's like, well, I mean, it made sense. Why not ride the horse that's gotten you there? To me, it just made sense. I just think they overthought it. It's like, well, this is what Boise State's going to be expecting. We'll try to fool them. I think it was overthought. I also think, you know, it would help if the officials would call defensive holding when there's defensive holding. But that's another story.
There were 23 penalties in the game, so they got a lot of exercise throwing those flags around. I think the other note that I wanted to point out from this game was the play of Amin Vanover with Abdul Carter out. And again, I don't want to use the line I've heard other people say, oh, they didn't miss Abdul Carter at all. Abdul Carter's a special, unique player, okay? Yeah. You're always going to miss him when he's out. But Amin Vanover, again, I think that displayed once more the depth of this Penn State team.
Yeah, and I mentioned the line play in general, but it's the depth of both of those lines, the offensive and the defensive line, that Jim really do have this team in position now to go win a national title. And even if they come up short, again, to be one of the final four teams standing, they've clearly taken that next step. And I think it's because of the physical nature of the line play in general, both lines. But if we're going to be specific, it's the offensive line that has taken that next step for the program this season.
Great effort against Boise State. All right, Jeff, that is it for our show. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Are you interested in traveling to Miami for the college football national semifinal game with your Nittany Lions? Then I have the answer for you from our friends at Collegiate Athletic Travel. They are offering a 3-night air package. It includes round trip, nonstop, charter air transportation from either State College or Harrisburg. Yep, you heard me right. Nonstop, out of State College or Harrisburg. It also includes hotel accommodations for 3 nights and your game ticket. And as always, when you deal with Collegiate Athletic Travel, you will have your travel directors who will provide you with all the help you need to make sure it's a great trip. Check them out at athletictravel.com, or you could give them a call for more information at 814-238-4987.